What's up, everybody? It's LG Doucette here. Today is Friday, April 16th, maybe Saturday, April 17th, by the time you're listening to this. This is the First Mint, a podcast where I cover marketplace trends, big sales, and everything going on in NBA. Top Shot, you may or may not have heard, but we are doing 3 podcasts per week now. That's right, there's going to be a little weekend edition. And you know what? We're also going to start to cover some stuff that's a little bit different on the podcast. I warned you about this a couple months back, that we are going to start to dive into the world of NFTs. And as a result, we have an awesome guest today, Jimmy, one of the most well-known people in the NFT space, or at least from my viewpoint, one of the most well-known people and smartest people. He's on the show, and don't you worry, we are not getting too far away from Top Shot. We are always going to cover Top Shot. Top Shot's kind of weird right now, but I still love Top Shot, and we're going to kick off the show by talking about what's new in Top Shot. I want to remind everybody here that none of the content on the show constitutes trading advice in any way, and that the show is not affiliated with NBA Top Shot, the NBA, or Dapper Labs. I'm just a guy at his house who loves basketball and blockchain. This is the First Mint. All right, now we got a real juicy interview with Jimmy, and I want to give a lot of space on the show to that one. So very quickly, much quicker than usual, I'm going to recap what has happened in the last couple days on NBA Top Shot. As you may or may not have participated in, on Thursday, we had the Cool Cats Challenge. If you like Twitter, then you may have joined our Twitter spaces. We're doing one pretty much for every drop from now on. This is the last of the Cool Cats Challenge. And what was actually surprising about this one, we knew that these moments were going to be 20,000 LE, which is quite a lot for a challenge, but we didn't think that the common moments needed were going to be 15,000 LE. Two of them were Serge Ibaka, Dwight Howard. They were both 15,000 LE, which has caused a little bit of a stir on the marketplace, as those are a little bit more scarce than the Cool Cats Challenge. I don't know if you guys are doing the Cool Cats Challenge. I'm actually not sure if I'm going to. I think the total that are done is coming about 2,000 now, which is about 10% or so of the total. Jury's still out for me, but I am looking forward to Cool Cats kind of being done. I know that Master Challenge is going to come soon. And what's funny is that this Cool Cats 4 drop, or this challenge, it actually ends next week. It's only a 7-day timer, which means that very soon we might be finally getting these sweet, sweet details on what that Master Challenge is going to look like. I can't wait. I'm eager for Cool Cats to end. Like I just said, it feels like we've been in Cool Cats purgatory for pretty much the whole time that everybody's been here on Top Shot. I'm eager for that to wrap up. And also, when it wraps up, it means we're probably going to be almost at the playoffs. Also, today in the afternoon, some of the moments on the marketplace finally went LE, meaning they went limited edition. Before that, they were circulating count plus, which means that they were open edition, as in more could be minted. But finally, some have been turned to LE. We were warned about this a little while back. So far, it's only a few players, and they're players that have been traded in the last about a month ago, I think, at the trade deadline. Terrence Davis, Evan Fournier, Aaron Gordon, George Hill, PJ Tucker, DeLon Wright, Gary Harris, JaVale McGee, and Victor Oladipo. All of them have been limited at their 35,000 marker, and no more will be made of those moments. Not that big of a deal, honestly, because 35,000 is still quite a lot, and none of these are like super mega star players. But if you like those players and you own them, and you maybe have a few duplicates, not a bad time to sell, because their prices might be going up just a little bit. Other stuff to look out for this weekend: we might be getting more details. It's been promised that maybe more of these moments would be LE'd. I don't know if this is it. 9 moments doesn't seem like that much. At one point, I think Jacob had said in office hours that it would be 10% of the current supply of 35,000 moments, 35,000 CC moments. So again, I don't know if that's going to happen anytime soon. So maybe keep an eye out for that. Maybe there'll be a blog that hits tomorrow morning. I have no idea. I'm just kind of recording this, hoping that nothing else happens. Anyways, this past week, other stuff to look out for next week. This past week, we had Monday and Thursday, we had pack drops. So that might mean that we might be getting back to that regular cadence. It might happen again next week, the Monday-Thursday pack drop. At this point, I actually don't know what would be dropped. It could be a base pack. It could be some other kind of new set. We had the big legendary drop this past week. Kind of crazy to think that that was this week. Anyways, we know that more stuff is coming, and also it was announced on office hours today that we will probably be getting 3 more legendary drops this season. Definitely another holo, potentially a playoff set. Last year there was a legendary for the finals, as well as a rare for the finals. There was 2 sets for the finals. It's a little weird. And potentially a legendary for some of the rookies. I actually feel like we have quite a lot of rookie moments. I don't know if we need more, but that could happen. Last little bit before we get to Jimmy. the First Mint newsletter. It's out there. If you click on any article on our website, thefirstmint.com, that newsletter will be linked at the top. Also, check our Twitter. We've been posting the link here and there, so keep an eye out for it. That newsletter is coming at you 3 times a week. Next up, you're going to hear our interview with Jimmy. All right, folks, we are on with Jimmy, who is a self-proclaimed NFT degen, but he is so much more than that. He is running the team and the project for Token Smart, as well as Avastars, and you're going to learn a bit more about what those two are today. He is one of the people I look up to absolutely, both on Twitter and, well, I don't know where else crypto happens but Twitter. But he's somebody I look up to in the NFT space, somebody I learned a lot from in the early goings, way before Top Shot or First Mint or any of that kind of stuff. Jimmy, this is your First Mint debut. Welcome to the show.
Thank you. It's great to be here, Luke. Can't wait to have this conversation.
Tell us, how did you first discover NFTs and crypto? What were you doing when that happened?
I think my answer is probably a little different than most here, in that I was actually in the woods walking up the Appalachian Trail from Georgia to Maine. I didn't make it all the way to Maine. I made it to Virginia. But before I got off the trail, somewhere in Tennessee, I was walking next to another person who was walking on to trying to walk all the way to Maine. And they mentioned that they were making money while they were walking down the trail. I asked them how he was doing that. And he said that he was mining Bitcoin. And it occurred to me that I had been aware of Ethereum and Bitcoin and cryptocurrency for several years, but I had kind of ignored it. Shortly thereafter, my journey ended. I got off the trail. I did get distracted by a beautiful woman for a few months. And then after that, I built my first Ethereum mining rig. That then led to, several weeks later, me looking for a place to spend that Ethereum, and CryptoKitties was launching. So I bought my first CryptoKitty on, I think, December 3rd, 2017. That, from that point on, like, I was in the altcoins and I was exploring the space, but like, I kept coming back to this really cool idea that, like, at the time my concept was that you could own these pieces of art and then create new art from it. And like, it was a way to create value from existing value. And I really liked that concept because, again, I was, you know, really intrigued by the idea of machines making money for you through mining cryptocurrency as well. So that was like a progression of that idea. And then it was, you know, when I had this Ethereum and stuff, it was like, what am I going to spend it on? And like, you know, NFTs is obviously what you spend it on. Well, at least for me. And so that was like how, I bought some Decentraland land pretty early on as well, just one plot, because, you know, I didn't know what I was doing. It was still pretty early. And then in their pre-sale thing. And then, I just kept kind of going back to CryptoKitties. A guy named Kai in the community solved the genetics, and he's one of our advisors for NFT42 and a good friend. I didn't know him at the time, and I benefited from the work he did. I came back and I was able to understand how to breed cats, which is a strange thing to say out loud, but that's really where the magic unlocked. And then I got to know people in the community, and then, you know, figured out there was other folks who actually, like, were really interested in the technology and what these things were doing and the potential for the future. From there, it's been every day, literally every single day, NFTs. So last 3+ years now.
So no forest time. No camping.
Nope. I talk about it a lot, though.
So when you came off the trail and you guys like Bitcoin, you set up your mining rig at home, how innate was that for you? Right? Because for me, like, you know, I come from a marketing background. It's like learning this stuff. It's like, you know, I kind of want to know how things work. And it took me a while to just understand what nodes were. And NFTs, it made sense to me, but even still some of the technology, even now, I'm still like a little hazy on. For you, like, what were you doing before that? That this seemed like you understood it pretty well. Just take me through that journey. Like, how did you understand it so well? And what made it click for you in terms of the tech and like the potential applications?
Sure. I mean, for me, like, doing the stuff with Google that I did, I was on the bleeding edge of technology, you know, for this full 6 years. Setting up Google, the easy way to say it is setting up Gmail for businesses, but we were basically deploying like their cloud applications and cloud solutions into enterprise businesses.
So you were working there? You were working at Google?
Yeah, I started a business that did that. And then I was also a contractor for them for 4 of the 7 years working inside and helping them. Yeah, I had that technology literacy from Google, even though I'm not a developer myself, very literate in the technology, can speak to developers fluently. And I built my own gaming rigs and stuff like that. I'm a gamer. So I built stuff And so the idea of building six card mining rig is not as daunting to me as it would be to somebody who hasn't built their own computer in the past. But to say that like I understood what I was doing from the start, it would be I didn't know what I was doing. I was following guides online. I was reading about how to do things and learning through trial and error. I did things incorrectly. I wasted money trying to like hook up things with the wrong things and ordering the wrong GPUs, CPUs, etc. So there was definitely trial and error, but it was an investment. I think when I started doing this, the idea was that I knew this was the next. I had figured out by then that this was going to be the next big thing, like cloud computing and now blockchain on top of that with AR and VR and AI and all this stuff combining. So I wanted to focus my time and effort. So I considered that an investment in myself, and my future. And then when I found NFTs, I convinced myself that buying and breeding cats was also an investment in my future.
Just slots right in there with the everything else you just said.
I mean, but really, like, and then every bit of becoming a degen was basically, what is this project? What does it do? Oh, well, first I would buy some of them and figure that out, and then like I would look at the token and I'd figure out if I had bought something that I liked or not, like as far as the technology and everything else. For a long time, I was only in CryptoKitties, you know, just like I think a lot right now, a lot of folks are in Topshot, and they should get comfortable in Topshot and come to understand that community and market really deeply and innately, and then they'll understand kind of organically as they move into other projects how those markets work, and they can start to judge the community against the Topshot community. They'll have something to compare it to. So for me, it's CryptoKitties, is I can compare everything back to the CryptoKitties community, to the CryptoKitties project, to the genesis of CryptoKitties, to all how all of that happened. So for a lot of folks that are coming in now, it'll be Topshot or Nifty Gateway are like common entry points into the space. And you know, I think, you know, being somewhere where you're familiar rather than just like spreading yourself too thin too soon, you know, we all have to get comfortable with what this is and trying to understand it. And then we're going to have some assumptions that are false and we're going to have some that are correct. And it's just a matter of figuring out, you know, what's wrong, what's right. And then if you have a desire to learn more about all of this, then think you're going to benefit more from all of this than if you're just on the surface level, just doing like trading and stuff like that. I mean, you have like at the top of the Topshot community, you have people like Pranksy and Whale Shark, who have, you know, altogether different market approaches, but they both have really deep understandings of the NFT space and everything else aside from their strategies of buy, sell, or hold.
You're going to get a lot of people curious with what you're saying. I'm going to tell you now. A lot of people are like, oh, okay. Like, you know, seems like you know what you're talking about. And, you know, they want to go out there and participate in this stuff. Topshot, incredibly easy to purchase and to understand. Dapper Labs done a great job. You know, Marketplace is relatively easy to learn. There's an amazing community. There's a lot of other content creators like myself there to help you understand what's going on. A lot of infrastructure. Not many other NFT projects really benefit from kind of that mass influx of information and help. And obviously there's tons of great projects out there for people who are looking to, you know, get started outside of Topshot. What are like some basic pieces of advice? Like how do they start and what do they look for?
Probably for me, not the, you know, I would be really curious to hear this answer from somebody who has made that transition from just Topshot into other things, because I'd be curious myself. You know, for me, it's coming from 3 years ago and just a natural branching out. I'm not sure how much of the Topshot community is still in Discord or in Discord, but Discord is really a great place. And not just Topshot is a different experience, Discord experience than some other servers, because it's very busy and popular, and there's also the people that are just not satisfied all the time with everything going on. But I would suggest finding like some interesting projects or communities that you can get into that are, you know, noob friendly and are good projects. I'm biased, you know, we run the Token Smart community. That's discord.gg/NFT, so it's pretty easy to remember. That one is good for fun. And there are people that know a lot about NFTs in there. And if you ask questions, you should get answers, participate in the events. They're usually based around NFT projects. That's a really good place, I think, to get exposure. Luke, I'd be curious what you think, if that's good advice or if I'm just shilling my own thing.
No, I want to hear more about it actually, because we do have to talk about NFT 42 and all the projects you guys are up to. I do think that's good advice, and you know, maybe I'm more, you know, you're saying somebody else should answer that, and maybe that's me, because basically, you know, I started sniffing around NFTs last spring about a year ago, and looking for projects I thought were interesting, and definitely very quickly found Token Smart, and then I participated in all the Metalympic events, which are one of the strangest things I've ever done. If anybody's ever been to crypto
it's about
voxels,
to get a lot weirder.
Oh, I know, but if anybody's ever been to crypto voxels, and I did like the race where like 300 people were doing this like virtual.
I did that one.
Foot
where
race.
Rizzle sent us in the wrong direction.
Yes, yeah, we went the wrong direction for a long time. And then there was a different time where we took the group selfie, like the giant group selfie in the stadium. Yeah, I was there for that. As an anonymous minnow back then, you know, just trying to hang out in the middle of the day, wondering what the hell I'm doing. But I think probably what I would recommend.
And we did, so the Metalympics, just as in brief, is that like every week we featured a different NFT project. And did an event based around that. Sometimes it was in crypto voxels. Sometimes it was actually inside of the experience itself. So there's a lot of, there was like basically 12 weeks of different NFT projects that if you had no familiarity at the end of those 12 weeks, you would have actually had some fun, a lot of fun, and had, well, I would say a lot of fun and some knowledge of all of these projects, but at least had the exposure to do it. And then probably made a few friends who you could chat with and learn more about. Because that's really, for me, the key to all of this is finding your group, right? Find your subgroup, find your group of people who are going to collectively learn together and share information. I think the idea is like called like a mastermind, basically, where you have this group of people who, you know, you can't know everything. So you have to like do this like hive mind sort of stuff where this guy's learning about this stuff, this guy's learning about this stuff. There's of course going to be overlap, but you know, that's how you find like greater knowledge in the space, is finding that group and setting up those groups and making an effort. Like there's people who are very motivated to learn about this stuff. And if you bring together that collective desire, and that's what we aim to do in Token Smart. And like you can find your community in Token Smart, but find your subgroup as well. Find your bigger groups, find your communities you want to be a part of. I personally love the CryptoPunks Discord. It's a bunch of older collectors that have been around for a little while. It's a pretty free-flowing chat, not many channels. There's a lot, Token Smart itself, there's many channels, there's a lot going on. Whales community, Whale Sharks community, has a lot of stuff. Like really great stuff going on. You know, Clubhouse is now okay. I mean, I'd say, you know, if you're already in NFTs, then you're not going to get as much out of Clubhouse as someone who is not into NFTs yet at all. But it's a good opportunity to potentially engage with influencers and celebrities who are coming into the space. And if you've learned a little bit, you might know more and can get up there and explain some things to them. So that's one area where if you want to express your knowledge, you can get in and try to like build your influence and things that way. And Discord now has tools built in, just like Clubhouse. And Twitter's releasing something called Spaces, I think.
I'm literally hopping off this right after our interview to do Twitter Spaces for the next Top Shot drop. So we've been doing Spaces. It's great.
Damn, nice.
You don't need only iPhone for that one, so it's pretty sweet. But I do agree with you. I think immersion is the way to go. Like you're saying, is like immersion, then find your flavor. I compared NFT projects the other day to flavors of ice cream.
That's an awesome analogy.
Yeah, it's like you everybody loves like chocolate, rocky road, whatever, but it's like it's okay. Sometimes you're gonna try other flavors, and for like a whole year you might love a completely different flavor and then come back to one you love. You can like 20 different flavors at once, but you pretty much have to go and learn about them and try them all for a little bit. And the best way to do that, like you're saying, is immerse yourself in the community, join the Discord, ask the dumbest questions in the world.
Well, I love that you said you got into it. I don't know if it was before or after we started this call, but you got into it and didn't buy anything for a while. Like, that's the best advice.
Exactly. And I think what Top
Shot's
done.
You're going to miss some early opportunities, but then like you'll know when the next good ones come along.
You'll learn.
Like,
that's
it. That you get into. Yeah.
Here's the story, is that when I first joined Top Shot, that was probably one of the first spends I did. I spent like $50. I was scared, man. I was like, I'm putting this money in my credit card, this pandemic, I don't know what's going on. And then it wasn't until I learned about all the other NFTs, like a month or two later, that I learned about everything else that was working, and I joined all these communities, I was learning about who's doing what, that I was like, oh, you know what? Turns out Top Shot is a project I really love, and I should ape into it, because now I understand how all this stuff works, which is basically like, find something you love, and if it's early enough, go freaking crazy with it. And I think now is actually a great time for you to tell us about what NFT 42 is. And, you know, for you being such an experienced NFT and crypto guy, what you're working on that's exciting you. Because you were telling me before we started recording that it's like you're so excited, you guys have so much coming up. Tell us about it.
Sure. Yeah. So NFT 42 is kind of the name of our parent company that basically is a NFT studio of sorts. We have several projects that we started over the last couple of years. One of them, the first one was Avastars. which you had Wear Kitty on previously, and she talked a little bit about that. She's actually just recently joined us full time. She's an amazing community member that I met in CryptoKitties. We were both moderators in CryptoKitties together, and so we've known each other for the last 3 years. So when I was talking about finding your group and your people, I'm one of her people, and she's one of mine, right? That we found each other and we help each other learn. Basically, what we do is our main focus is just making excellent NFTs and creating a great community experience around those. We have the Token Smart community, which we talked about a little bit already, and Token Smart runs the Meta Olympics. And Token Smart is doing a conference next year, an NFT conference in Las Vegas, March 22nd through 24th. We have room for up to 5,000 people. I know there's going to be a huge art exposition. We're going to have a VR exposition. We're going to have tattoo artists that are tattooing people, their NFTs. We're going to have the live Meta Olympics there. We're going to actually have a scavenger hunt across the strip in Vegas and other places, and a bunch of different activities going on during the conference. It's going to be a ton of fun. It's going to be based around NFTs and the metaverse and community. We're all going to need to, blow off some steam, and what better place to do it than Vegas, and what better thing to do it around than NFTs? Because what I've found about NFTs is, it brings out the childlike nature in everybody again, because it reignites our imagination in a way that hasn't been probably 10 or 20 years. I want to bring that into a physical space together where everybody can experience that together and just have a great time learning about these projects. It's going to be three tracks: create, code, and collect. So there's something for everybody. If you collect, you're going to have plenty to do. If you want to make NFTs, you're going to have plenty to do. And if you're an artist or someone who's doing that, you're going to have plenty to do there as well, and everybody can engage with each other. So really excited about that. Hopefully Dapper Labs and Top Shot wants to participate in that event. Hopefully we can get some of the NBA players to, show up there and hang out and sign autographs, maybe some NFT based autographs or something. Who knows? Should be some great performances and speakers talking about, the NFT space, and really to educate people. So we're talking about educating users on doing more. That's why I wanted to spend a little bit more on that. The Token Smart community is your way to kind of learn more about the event as it's coming up, and of course about NFT projects. And then the other thing, so we have Avastars as well, which Where Kitty talked about and you guys talked about. So if you want to learn more about Avastars, I would suggest going back to that episode and going a little deeper there. But then the thing we've been focusing on for the last few months is actually building out our minting platform. What we're creating is basically, we focus on creating really excellent technology underneath of the NFTs. Dapper, Top Shot, for what it's worth, does a really great job with their technology as well. But we're making sure that that's happening other places too. We want to put all of our information on the blockchain. So we talk about putting NFTs on chain. We're not just talking about storing the ownership part on chain, but we're actually talking about the images and the metadata and all the information about it, putting that on the on the blockchain as well. So a lot of the projects that we do in the NFT space, all of the projects we do, focus on being on chain. So that's something that we're getting ready to launch that enables other creators to put their information and NFTs on chain and to do really cool things around like access and evolving tokens and multiple file storage for one token and all these neat things that I don't think many people have thought about yet. And it's new. So that's something we're going to be launching in the next couple of weeks. We actually have a pretty exciting launch coming up, I think on 419, 420. Keep an eye out for that. I can't say more yet, but that's next week. And then we have a, it'll make sense on 420, and I promise it's not Hitler's birthday celebration. So
420 is a lot of other things, man. I live in British
fuck
Columbia, Canada.
Hitler.
Come on. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's a lot of other, it means a lot of other stuff out here.
We're talking about weed. We're talking about weed, to be clear.
Okay. Yeah. Just say it straight up. Yeah. Just say it straight
Yeah.
up. Okay. All that stuff. There might be even some of the stuff you said, even there might be a few folks listening who don't fully understand, and that's okay. What I just got to kind of, let's just blanket it in a simple way. Going forward in NFTs, what are kind of like the two most important things for projects that are building, like what you guys are building, that you need, that are incredibly important, like interoperability, composability, and just like or whatever they are, just like what are you guys like focused on either change about the industry or upholding as a standard that you think is really important going forward?
Yeah, I mean, I'm just going to keep harping that on-chain drum or,
Okay.
string here. Like basically things need to, so everything you just said, like the composability, you need things on chain. because you need trustless interactions between different NFTs. And for anybody who's not familiar with composability, that's the idea of being able to take like your NBA Top Shots and take two of them and somehow create a new experience where, you know, this is a very big leap, but let's say you've got a LeBron and a Steph Curry, you could actually like combine them and somehow have them do a one-on-one and, you know, some random outcome is determined, right? Like, you know, like whatever it is that Top Shot's building, whatever game experience will have some form of composability where you'll be able to do things and have different outcomes with your tokens based on what you do. But composability can also be things like CryptoKitties has, you know, you create two kitties together and that creates a new one. With Avastars, you'll be able to take several Avastars and you'll be able to create a new one. But someone could also take the Avastar traits and potentially combine that with a different blockchain NFT project and create something entirely new that we've not even thought of. That possibility exists as well. So that's composability. You're able to trustlessly do that. And these traits, you own these traits and you can decide where you're going to use these traits on an Avastar. And if you want to use them somewhere else, you can use them somewhere else. If you want to use them in our game experience, you can use them in our game experience. And I know this is like not an easy concept right now because Avastar's Replicants doesn't exist, but their idea is that like you have spendable things on these NFTs and you can spend them with us in our experience, the first party experience that we designed for it, or you can spend them somewhere else if somebody else decides to design a third party experience around that. And that's composability, is the ability to take functionality and utility from one project that was intended for the project itself, but was also designed to be decentralized and useful other places if people want to use those things other places. And when we start to see a bunch of projects that combine these things, we're just going to see these amazing mashups. I don't want to go too deep down the rabbit hole, Luke. There's only been one or two examples of this so far, and we won't even get into them right now.
That's all good.
If you want to know more about this, find me on Twitter and to talk about composability specifically. Don't ask me about like Top Shot values or anything like that. But I'll.
It's all right. They asked me about that. Don't worry about it.
Yeah, I'll talk to you about composability. Yeah.
I will ask you to speculate though on NFTs. And even though there's only been a few examples that you're talking about, now that NFTs are getting very mainstream, right? What industry do you hope can be changed by NFTs? And I mean like deep in the future, like stuff that, you know, is old and stodgy, but in 5 or 10 years or 20 years can be seriously revolutionized with NFTs. Which, pick an industry there.
Oh, wow, man. I don't think this is going to be a completely different answer than you expected. So first of all, there's not a single industry that will not be disrupted, and it's not going to take 5 to 10 years. It's going to take 2 to 3. Every single one, and in profound ways. I'm already speaking to a lot of them. I mean, it's
coming.
You can't
pick one. Is there just one you want to say?
No, I don't want to, just because there's two.
Okay.
No, I mean, look, if you look across the entire, like, if you look across all of commerce and all of engagement and all of media, I mean, there's, okay, I don't know. Like, what if like people start releasing like, oh man, I can't. Cause I don't want to, like, I've talked to so many people across so many different industries that if I say anything, I'm gonna feel like I'm gonna like if I tell you there's literally nothing that can't, like, NFTs can't find its way into. NFTs are the Trojan horse to blockchain adoption. People are going to get crypto to get NFTs. Going back to my original thing, when I mined Ethereum, what was I going to spend it on? Well, I'm going to spend it on NFTs. More than that, but this is the compelling reason people will now get the cryptocurrency, is to get the NFTs. And then the more we can abstract that cryptocurrency part from NFTs as well, the more people will adopt NFTs, because NFTs are the things people want more than the cryptocurrency. They want these things, and they'll have more and more reasons to want these things. And I think brands and companies will definitely help drive that adoption as they see the value in NFTs for a variety of different reasons. I mean, part of it is, you know, offloading of some of the liability of keeping some of this information that can be already stored kind of in public and stuff that, you know, that now they don't have to keep. And being able to engage directly with their audiences across multiple platforms, you know, like an NFT can live across all these different social media platforms, much like a, you know, right now, if you like do a Facebook video, like for years, it was hard to do like a YouTube video on Facebook without getting a good link and embedded in there. Well, like if you think about NFTs, you know, like every platform is going to need to support the viewing of these NFTs. So it's a way to persist across many different platforms. So there's like so many different use cases for these things. It's not, they're not just pictures and videos of things stored on a blockchain. They're everything you can think of they can be used for. I know that's like such a broad answer, but I don't feel limited. I don't feel like NFTs deserve to have any limits imposed upon them either, or timelines. I thought it was going to take much longer to get to the where we're at right now and so much attention brought to the space, but we're here. And that's why it's not going to take 5 to 10 more years. It's only going to take a few.
Unstoppable now.
I mean, there's been a ton of money that's been poured into the space investment. Yes. And that money coming in, that helps solve problems that were going to take a lot longer without the money. So, you know, we're getting ready to reach we're in a rapid innovation cycle in NFTs right now. Well, absolutely. Our company is. I don't know if everybody else is or not.
Oh, yeah. No, I think so. Absolutely. We got to wrap this up soon. Your Top Shot collection. We do have to talk about it. I don't know how active you still are in Top Shot. You have a sizable collection. Obviously, you were one of the first people in, so you know a lot of people very envious there. Let's talk about it more from.
I've tried to
standpoint.
Share the love. I've really tried to share the love. Yeah.
Are you an NBA fan? Are you a big basketball fan? It's okay if you.
I've never been a big basketball fan, but I've been a Lakers fan for many years. I always watched the basically playoffs and championships, especially when they were involved. I always liked watching the championship games. But I've never been a huge basketball fan. I did collect some basketball cards in the 90s, though. So, you know, have some credibility from back when I was a kid.
When did you know Top Shot would be like a hit?
I think I knew about it. It would be a hit probably the months leading into the initial beta launch or whatever that they did with the select group. I had the opportunity to engage with Katie and others on the team that I respect a lot, and I could tell that they had built something really that they were very excited about. So that got me excited. When I saw the product, I was also pretty excited about what the future was bright in my mind. So it was a kind of easy decision given the pedigree of Dapper Labs and what they had done with CryptoKitties and the partnership with NBA and the opportunity to be the first true what I would consider NFT sports collectible to like really, I used to collect a lot of basketball or baseball cards and things like that in the 90s. And, you know, Ken Griffey Jr., you know, Upper Deck fiasco and everything else really bothered me. So this solves that problem. And so I wanted to support a project that was basically solving a problem that existed for me when I was a kid and for everybody else that really enjoyed that collecting experience, but had it ruined by the economics of it all, not being controlled scarcity and everything else. So that's why I figured it was going to be a hit. And I just, you know, at the time, you know, I probably spent $30,000 to $40,000 on my collection initially, I'm guessing. Yeah, you spent $50. I did almost 100x that.
Yeah, I spent more than that shortly thereafter.
But no, okay. I know. But
hey,
I know.
Hey, listen, man, I didn't hike that. I didn't come off the trail and have this epiphany about crypto. Okay, like that's
right.
It was new to me, man. I was making like TV commercials before that.
And hey, for a few months, I was like, oh my god, I just spent way too much money on this. Oh my god. Oh my god. Oh my god. Yeah. But you know, in what December, January, like things really, the market showed itself and. Top Shot's been great. I've gotten a multitude of friends into NFTs now through Top Shot, and I haven't had the ability to do that really with any other projects with like certainty. And so I'm really grateful for everything Dapper and Roam's done to help build out this ecosystem, leading the way for adoption.
Now there's a part in the show that we play with everybody. It's a bit of a game, and it's called Would You Rather, okay? And I ask you questions, I give you two options, and then you tell me which one you'd pick, and you can only pick one of the two, okay?
All right.
Are you ready, Jimmy? Would you rather Top Shot Mint a one-of-one Jimmy NFT where you're doing out of some kind of cool basketball play, or the Lakers hire you an NFT 42 to be like the director of NFTs for the Lakers?
I guess I would rather the second one.
Okay.
Because I know they'd be making some really excellent NFTs, and I'd want those NFTs for myself. Can you put me in touch with them, please?
I'll try. Yeah, I don't know them. Yeah, if anybody hears from the Lakers, please, put them in touch with me and with Jimmy. Would you rather, this is, I guess, more of a serious question. Maybe we're going to pick into your secrets a little bit. Would you rather NFTs revolutionize how kids learn in school, or NFTs revolutionize how people vote in elections?
I mean, dude, I can't just pick one of these two really important things. I guess I would pick the former because that would lead to the latter if I had to pick one. I mean, it's more important to like educate children so that the next generation is able to make smart and wise decisions. I would, of course, love for – I don't think NFTs need to necessarily be part of fixing voting. I think blockchain does, and it's an obvious solution. So how much – let's actually avoid the rest of that answer.
Yeah. That's all good. Okay, last one. Would you rather your Token Smart conference take place as a 5,000 person hike on the Appalachian Trail where you all do it together, or that the lead performer at your Vegas conference is Celine Dion?
Not a huge Celine Dion fan. I would definitely pick the first. If you had said just about like anybody else, I probably
who
would
then?
Have like,
who would you pick? If you pick any performer, but it's got to be like some kind of like cheesy Vegas performer. It can't be somebody who's never performed in Vegas. It's got to be like Britney Spears, Celine Dion.
Yeah,
Britney Spears. Okay, 100%. Not Chris Angel. You don't want Chris Angel there?
Free Britney.
Yeah, okay, there you go.
Free Britney. Yeah.
Awesome. Jimmy, it's been great to have you on the show, man. Thanks for coming.
Dude, thank you so much. Anytime you want to have me on again and ramble on about NFTs for an hour or so, I'm happy to do it.
And that is going to do it for the weekend edition of The First Mint. Hope you all have a very wonderful weekend. You can give us a follow on Twitter at The First Mint. And of course, give us a like, give us a subscribe on iTunes. Pump those numbers, man. We need that good juice. We need some 5-star ratings. It's always nice to have, and we appreciate all of your support. Otherwise, please enjoy your weekend, and we will see you Monday on The First Mint.